Last week, the Court of Appeal allowed a test case appeal by ratepayers in a battle with local billing authorities over empty property business rates. Roger Cohen, real estate disputes partner at Brian Cave Leighton Paisner LLP, enthusiastically welcomed the decision as a lifeline for property owners. So we asked Roger here to our studio to explain why this decision is so important. Welcome, Roger.
Jess, thanks for having me.
So before we get into the detail of the judgment in the combined cases of Rossendale Borough Council v Hurstwood Properties and Wigan Council v Property Alliance Group Limited, among various other parties, first off, Roger, what's the big problem with empty property rates?
The big problem with empty property rates, Jess, is that they are a tax on failure.
I thought you might say that.
Yeah, I'm fond of saying that because it's true. So what do I mean by that? Well, it's a tax which is payable if an owner of property has failed to find a use for the property itself, or if the owner has failed to find a tenant to occupy the premises. Either way, there's been a failure and there's a tax bill to pay and no income coming in against which to set off the tax.
Not an ideal set of circumstances. So with all that in mind, do we have an idea of the scale of the problem and roughly how many properties this affects and the vague amount of the rates involved?
So in the particular cases, the judgment said that there was about £10 million at stake.
And that's in about, it was about 50 cases?
Or? About 50 cases, I think 55. Mm. So that's the particular case. The official statistics make it difficult to do any more than come up with a guesstimate as to how much of the total tax take for business rates is attributable to empty property rates. Mm-hmm. But the information that we do have would support a guesstimate of about 10 to 15% of the total of rates paid being empty property rates. So that's something like 10 to 15% of £30 billion, which is £3-4 billion. Pounds. I think that's quite a lot of money.
That is a fairly significant sum. So no wonder so many landlords try hard to avoid paying empty property rates, which is what happened in this case. Can you sum up the background of the dispute and the two test cases which were selected to be heard together in this action?
So there are various products which are available and which are designed to avoid empty rates liability. The products which were used in these two test cases had this common feature that a single purpose vehicle was made available to take a lease of the space from the owner of it. So the owner of the empty space would be liable for empty property rates. The product was founded on the proposition that if you granted a lease to another company, that other company would become liable for the rates. But if that company is a single purpose vehicle without any assets, well, no rates in practice are going to be paid. The difference between the two schemes was that in one of them, the SPV was put into liquidation soon after the lease to it was granted. In the other, there was a delay of a year or so before the SPV was put into liquidation. But in both cases, the essence of the scheme was that when the party formerly rateable, the owner, granted the lease to the SPV, at that point, the rates liability was transferred to the SPV.
So I imagine really the sort of the basic question is whether or not these schemes work or not. So what was the first instance decision in the action?
So at first instance, the local authority, or strictly the billing authorities, challenged the structure on three grounds. First, they said these leases are a sham. Secondly, they said they're artificial. And thirdly, they said we can pierce the corporate veil to look at the truth of what's going on. Mm. So should I take those one by one? Contention that the leases were a sham was rejected. A sham is when you have a document which does not truly reflect the reality of what's going on. So, for example, a so-called license of residential property when in fact there's a lease. But here there was no sham. A lease was granted to the SPV. So the High Court rejected that point. On artificial transaction, and we'll come on to what that means in a bit more detail when we look at the Court of Appeal decision, the High Court again was against the billing authority. But the High Court did see a possibility that the corporate veil ought to be pierced. In other words, you look at the SPV, you say, ah, the SPV is acting at the direction of the people who market the scheme, and they are people who are providing services to the proper ratepayer. And so you can just disregard the precise detail as to who's doing what. The reality is, it's still the owner who has to pay the rates. And that argument was decided in favour of the billing authorities and against the ratepayers.
Which left them, at that point, liable to pay the empty property rates.
That's right. So they applied for permission to appeal.
Can you sum up what the major battlegrounds were on appeal?
So the major battlegrounds on appeal were piercing the corporate veil. In other words, do you disregard the role of the SPVs? And secondly, was there an artificial transaction? So do you disregard the fact that there was a lease? In order to understand the Court of Appeal decision, you have to have in mind that in order for the billing authorities to win, they had to succeed in disregarding either the fact that there was an SPV on the scene or disregarding the fact that there was a lease to the SPV. And that's what the Court of Appeal had to grapple with.
They gave their decision last week, as we mentioned from the offset. So, and the result is a welcome one for property owners, isn't it, as it stands?
Yeah, and let's just explain how they got there, because it's relevant to understanding the products which are being marketed to the owners of empty space. So what the Court of Appeal said was that the idea of piercing the corporate veil, insofar as it's relevant for our purposes, is all about a situation in which there is an improper action taken to evade a legal liability. So that's quite a complicated company law mouthful. But when it comes to rating, rates become liable day by day. So if you have an occupier, each day that they're in occupation is a new day's liability. And so the Court of Appeal said here, there's no evasion of any past liability. On day one, it's the original owner who's liable to pay the rates. On day two, when a lease is granted to the SPV becomes liable. But that's a new liability going forward, and it's not the SPV being used to evade a liability in the past. So it's a bit of a company law mouthful, but piercing the corporate veil did not work as the billing authority might have hoped. So the other argument was what I've referred to as artificiality. Technically, we ought to call it the Ramsey principle. Now, the Ramsey principle says that when you construe or interpret an Act of Parliament, you have to determine the nature of the transaction to which it was intended to apply. Now, tax law is the area in which the Ramsey principle has been deployed on most occasions. And that's because tax legislation is really complicated. It makes the stuff that I, as a humble real estate litigator, have to deal with look really simple indeed. So you have these very complicated statutes, and there's been a battle as to how you approach legislation. Do you apply the words on the page in a very literal sort of way, or do you give them more of a purposive approach so that you find out what the section and legislation was intended to do? And the Court of Appeal said two things here which were really significant. First of all, the Ramsey principle doesn't just apply to tax, it applies across the board, which is that you have to ask yourself whether the a particular set of facts engages the statute, whether the statute was designed to deal with the particular set of facts that you have. And in fact, the Court of Appeal said that it's because Ramsey isn't just a tax-only rule, it applies across the board, that neither of the parties in this appeal put in a special plea for rating to be treated in any special way, or for this Ramsey principle to be limited to the sort of taxes that we normally think about. And what the Court of Appeal said was that here we have a liability to pay rates, which becomes the liability of the SPV because a lease is granted to them. It's settled law that once a lease is granted, it's the tenant who becomes liable to pay the rates. So there's no artificiality about that. That's just the way it is. And so the Court of Appeal said that this Ramsey principle did not assist the billing authorities. In other words, you don't disregard the fact there's been a lease. Mm-hmm. And because there's a lease, it means the rates liability has moved from the owner to the SPV, which is good news.
Now, it's slightly unusual these days for this to happen, but in this case, two of the three judges each gave a fairly lengthy judgment of their own.
That's a really good point, Jess, because what was going on here was some quite clever job sharing in the Court of Appeal. One of the judgments was given by Lord Justice David Richards, and mm-hmm. he dealt with the piercing the corporate veil point. Mm-hmm. The other judgment was given by Lord Justice Henderson, who I recall was a tax specialist when he practiced right. at the bar. So he dealt with the Ramsey principle, the artificiality point. Mm. And they both agreed with what the other had written mm-hmm. on the other one's topic. So I think that's quite a good way of dividing the judicial task. And there was a third member of the court, Lord Justice Baker, and he agreed with both of his colleagues.
So tying all that together, what does that mean for property owners going forward who want to avoid empty property rates?
So there are a variety of products on the market which are intended to achieve a mitigation of empty property rates. Until this case was decided, the use of premises for storage was the product which gave the best prospects of success. But now that the Court of Appeal have given this decision, it does seem to increase the options which are available to owners faced with empty property rates and who decide that they want to do something about it.
Do you think subtly different schemes might be challenged in other claims and we might see a bit of difference in how the cases are handled?
Well, to anticipate a question which I'm sure a number of your listeners have already thought about, this isn't necessarily the last word. Mm. We're dealing with a decision of the Court of Appeal. It may well be that other billing authorities decide that they want to crack down on the use of mitigation schemes, and they might bring legal proceedings to mm-hmm. enforce payment, leaving the ratepayers or the alleged ratepayers to challenge and to rely on this decision. Mm. One also has to say that every case turns on its facts, mm. although, so far as the Court of Appeal is concerned, we do have products here which have worked mm-hmm. in favour of the ratepayers.
Which I suppose encourages ratepayers in this position to select those products.
Ratepayers may feel more confident about selecting those products, although, as I've said, a Court of Appeal decision is not the last word.
Indeed it isn't. And I believe the Court of Appeal has refused permission to appeal, but it remains open to the billing authorities to ask the Supreme Court directly, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. And we'll just have to see what happens so far as that's concerned. The other thing that could happen is legislation. Now, I'm not going to do the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government's work for it. They've got some very able people who can do that for themselves. But it may be that some thought is given to legislating around this particular issue, which would be a great shame because, come back to my opening point, empty property rate is a tax on failure. It's onerous. And at the rates at which business rates are payable, it's hardly surprising that owners of property are looking to find a way out.
Well, thank you very much for explaining and summarising this case with us again, Roger.
Well, Jess, thank you very much for having me.
You have been listening to On the Case from EG.